Well, I bring you greetings this morning from your brothers and sisters of the Oaks West Church in Burnet, Texas, northwest of Austin. In fact, Jim and Michelle Alverson visited on Sunday night from Taylor. And it was my first time to preach in Burnet, but what I found was it was a melting pot of people I've known from other places who have retired in Burnet. And so it was a church of about 70 people, mostly older people. In fact, on Sunday lunch, somebody asked me, "Did you meet Brother so-and-so today?" And I said, "Well, which one was he?" They said, "He was the older man with the cane." And I said, "Well, that's half the church. Can you be more specific?" But they send you, in the name of the Lord, greetings. It's good to be home, good to be with you today. I'm thankful for opportunities to go and preach, but always thankful to be back home, especially on the Lord's Day. I have one passage of Scripture I'd like for us to consider this morning. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's just three verses, but I'd like for you to open your Bible to that text, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." I am especially interested this morning in what Peter calls in verse 3, a living hope. Not a new hope for you Star Wars people, but a living hope. And he says this living hope is connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, it's natural for people's minds to be on the resurrection of Jesus today. In fact, we may have visitors here, and that's why you've come, and we welcome you. We want you to be a part of what we're doing here. And we can either ignore the obvious or embrace the opportunity. And since our minds are disposed to thinking about the resurrection today, I want us to think about it not from the standpoint of just the facts and figures, but the significance of it and the value it has in giving all of us a living hope. That's what Peter says we have through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We go from death to life, no hope, to a living hope. Now, before we examine what Peter talks about in these verses, I want you to see how much more powerful they become when you consider the person who's writing them. The Apostle Peter. And I just want you to think with me for a few moments about Peter before and after the resurrection, and what that meant to him personally, that would cause him then to write and encourage his brothers and sisters scattered because of persecution. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has granted to us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Remember that it was Peter, when Jesus preached in John chapter 6 and said that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have no part of me. And he said this to crowds and crowds of people. And many who were following Jesus then began to leave. These weren't people who just showed up for one sermon. These were his disciples. And they said, we can't follow you anymore. We don't understand this teaching. This is too difficult. And Jesus asked the 12, are you going to go away too? Remember, it was Peter who said in John 6 and verse 68, Lord, where are we going to go? Who else are we going to follow? You have the words of eternal life. Remember that it was Peter in Matthew chapter 16 who, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Speaking to the 12. They didn't say what the men on the street said. You're a prophet like John the Baptist or Elijah. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah that's been promised, who we've been waiting for. But then I want you to notice in Matthew 16 what Jesus predicted on the very same occasion. Look at Matthew chapter 16 at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. So think about it. You're the one who has the words of eternal life. You're the one who Moses said God would send a prophet and I'll put words in his mouth. You're the Christ, the Son of God. You're his anointed one who's going to reclaim the throne. And now he says, I'm going to suffer and be killed. And it's likely that they didn't even hear the next prediction and be raised on the third day. Every time Jesus foretold his crucifixion, he followed it with and be raised. But notice what Peter said this time. Verse 22, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You're the one who has the words of life. How are these chief priests and scribes going to silence you? You're the Son of the living God. How can man put you to death? Is it any wonder then why when they arrested Jesus that they all forsook him and fled? They couldn't understand this. Is it any wonder then that this same Peter would three times that same night say, I don't even know the man. I'm not his disciple. I'm not with him. And when Luke says Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And he remembered Jesus' prediction of his denials. He went out and wept bitterly. And when they saw the tomb close on their master and teacher, all hope was gone. The cause was over. Satan had won. Then, on the first day of the week, came the first reports. We've seen him. He's alive. And especially, Luke chapter 24, I want you to notice what was reported. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Verse 33. And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with him, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Later confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5. He appeared to Peter or Cephas. And when he appeared to Peter, I can hear him saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his abundant mercy has given to us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." The same Peter who would then three times be asked by Jesus in John chapter 21, "Simon, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Peter, I have use for you." "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given to us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." And in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who took his stand and said in verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by miracles and wonders and signs, you put him on a cross. But God has raised him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his abundant mercy has given to us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." It had happened to Peter himself. What then does this living hope mean for us? Number one, it's a living hope because it's connected to a living Savior. That's why Peter puts those two things together, a living hope and the resurrection. Because if Jesus is not alive, then there is no hope. But we have a living hope because this morning we worship a living Savior. Like the rest of you, I was following with great interest this past most recent school shooting in the Nashville area. And the reason it particularly grabbed our interest is because it was connected with a church, a Presbyterian church, and one of their elders was given the task of addressing the congregation after the shooting. And he said he just stared at a blank piece of paper, wondering, what can I say? What's going to help? What's going to comfort? And he said for the longest time, he had only written one sentence. Pray for us. You turn to God in times like that. A God who lives. A God who cares and who answers. A God who can do something. That's what gives us our hope. Jesus has conquered death. He's defeated the great enemy, Satan. Is there anything he can't do? Is there any problem too difficult for him? No, we serve a living Savior. And through him we have this living hope. Look what also Peter says in verse 23 of 1 Peter 1. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 4. And coming to him as a living stone. Verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you see that because he is a living Savior, that changes everything? He fulfilled his word. He was going to suffer and to be killed, but then be raised. And that gives us a living hope through the living Word of God as living stones in his temple. A living hope through our living Savior. Number two, this becomes significant to us just as it did to Peter, because this living hope is a result of a new life that we have in Jesus. Did you notice that he said in verse 4? Or beginning with verse 3. Who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. You will recognize that language from John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus and the Lord said to him, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3 and also in verse 5, be born again. Well, why is it again? Well, God is responsible for the first birth when he creates us. It's God who gives us life when we're born into this world. That is the gift of the giver of lights. But it is also God who then recreates us and causes us to be born again. When we conform into the image of his Son. When we are buried in the death of Jesus in the waters of baptism. And then rise to newness of life. And that gives us then a living hope. We're a new person. Think about that from Peter's perspective. He had denied the Lord 3 times. He wept bitterly. But through the resurrection, Peter himself was raised from the dead. This new life brings new relationships, new responsibilities. For those whose hope was gone, who saw no purpose or no value or no worth to life, Jesus has allowed us to begin again. A living hope. And have you ever considered this morning that only because of the resurrection can we celebrate the cross? It's what we've done this morning. We've commemorated Jesus' death, what he did for us, what that means to us. But if there's no resurrection, we can't celebrate his death. We're the ones now who have died to sin. We're the ones who've been raised to new life. We have a living hope because of this new life in Christ. And number three, we have a living hope through the resurrection because it's a lasting hope. Hope for what is to come. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Think about that. We're sons. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is now our Father. And because we are his sons, we are heirs. We have an inheritance. But it's not something that is subjected to the things of this world, on this earth. It's imperishable, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith. I read my horoscope yesterday. Now, in the Chronicle, the horoscopes are right next to the crossword puzzle. I do it every day. And on the occasion where I'm stumped or I'm thinking or I'm trying to remember a word, I just glance over there and look at the horoscopes. This was mine for yesterday. Something unexpected might impact your assets, possessions, or your wealth today. You might find money. You might lose money. Be smart and protect what you own. Now, that's something to hang your life on, isn't it? That's certain and sure and steadfast. But I especially notice the word protect. Oh, you got to guard it. Peter said, our inheritance from our Father is protected. Doesn't fluctuate with the stock market. There aren't any unforeseen emergencies where he might have to take it away unexpectedly. It's protected and reserved in heaven. It's a lasting hope. It's what causes us to persevere through suffering and difficulty and trial. Because it's living. And because of that assurance, come what may, we can say, not because it's Easter Sunday, but we can say every day, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has granted to us that we might be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It was that same resurrection that Peter would later appeal to in chapter 3 in verse 21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord's invitation is for you to receive what he's promised and to have your sins washed away and to give you a hope of life eternal that is living through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. A song's been selected that would encourage you to come and make that decision this morning. And we want to assist you in that. That means coming to this, before this assembly, and saying what Peter said. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to obey him and bow my knee to him. Then through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, baptism can wash away your sins and save you this morning. It may be that you came this morning feeling helpless and hopeless, and you'd like to have that restored through the prayers and encouragement of your brothers and sisters here. We want to help you do that right now while we stand up and while we sing.